Offering a most loving pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, a very warm good morning to all of you and welcome to this week's broadcast of the Thursday Live from our studios at the Shri Satya Sai Media Center at Prashanthi Nilayam. It gives me great pleasure in joining you all today and welcoming you to this day-long broadcast. It's a wonderful Thursday here. We are into the month of July. We could not speak to you on this particular segment last week, given some technical snags that we had, but we are all set today, and the month of July is special this time, like many other years, because it's the year we celebrate the Guru Purnima festival, a festival very immense in its significance in our relationship with Swami. As once Swami had told a devotee who had asked this question to Swami, what is the best way to relate to Swami? Should we relate to Swami as a mother? Should we relate to Swami as divinity, as God, or as a friend? And the answer that Swami gave on that particular occasion is that the best relationship that you can strike with Bhagwan is that of a guru and a sishya, a master and a disciple. And that is why Guru Purnima is a very important festival. It is in this month, much later in the month though, that we are celebrating Guru Purnima. The ashram is still under the lockdown. People are not allowed inside the mandir, including people like us who are not part of the bhajan and vedam teams. Hopefully closer to Guru Purnima, we will be able to tell you whether devotees will be allowed. And we are hoping that things get better and devotees are allowed inside. This evening, as part of the satsangs that we have on Thursdays, we have a talk from our archives by Dr. Samuel Sandwise. This talk was given a long time ago, in the year 93, if I'm not wrong. For those of you who possibly may not know who Dr. Samuel Sandwise is, many of you may be aware of his association with Swami. One of the finest books in Sai literature has been authored by him, the book A Psychiatrist Meets Bhagwan Sri Sat Sai Baba, and it's one of the finest books in the sense that here was a psychiatrist who has been observing human mind, who has been studying the human mind, and he had this opportunity to look at his own mind when he was in the presence of Bhagwan, and so very beautifully documented. We're going to have a wonderful talk by him this evening. That's from the archives. It's not a recently recorded talk. So that's one thing that you'd like to look out to. Brother Bishu, as part of the Outside Inside program, is going to continue bringing to you stories of Swami's devotees, Swami's students, rising up to the occasion as part of the COVID relief that is going on. It's an ongoing activity. There were some activities that happened during the first wave. The second wave brought with it newer opportunities, different needs had to be fulfilled, and did Swami's devotees rise to the occasion? Of course they did, and what it has given us is immense inspiration through the life and through the work of some of these individuals. Probably one that I thought I will share with you, and this program is called Prashanthi Vibes, and it's all about bringing to you the inspiration that Prashanthi Nilayam is a witness to, is a source to. And sitting here, we look at all these brothers and sisters who are doing these immense seva in the name of Swami and get inspired. And having this opportunity to sit in front of this mic and connect with all of you, I think it is also our duty to share this inspiration with all of you. And to start off this beautiful Thursday, I thought I will just share this one story with you. It's of one of our alumnus. She studied in the primary school from the first standard to the 12th standard. Then she went on to do her BSc. I'm not sure, BSc or BA. She did her undergraduate program as well as master's in the Anantapur campus, both of which she completed with gold medals. I'm talking about one sister, Sai Sudha Sriram, whose story I happened to hear sometime back, and I got to hear a little more in detail a couple of days back. The pandemic that we're all enduring had a very severe toll on her family. Sometime last year, in very quick, in events that happened very quickly before they could realize, her father-in-law was infected, and within a day, before they could give him the right treatment, they had lost him to the pandemic. It was a shock for the family, and much before they could recover from that shock, maybe a month or so later, she lost her husband to the disease. And it's very, very sad to note that she is a very young girl. She has a child who is barely 9 years old at that moment. And you could imagine what kind of trauma the family must have gone through, what kind of trauma this girl must have gone through. She said all through that time when her husband was hospitalized, she prayed as much as she could. She pleaded with the Lord. She pleaded with gods, like how we generally do in Indian tradition. If my so-and-so gets fine, I will do this. I will come to this temple. I will make this offering. She said in a typical traditional way, she made all of those prayers. And when the eventuality had to be faced, when she lost her husband, with him she lost her faith too. That's what she says. She was so much in pain, she was so much in grief, understandably, that she found no meaning in prayer anymore. She did not see any goodness in anything that was happening around, and she was absolutely distraught. For a change of surroundings, she went back to her parents' home after these events. And it was then that one day she got a call from somebody who was suffering with COVID and wanted some help, and it was within her ability to help. So she made a few calls, she made a few arrangements, and she helped that person. And after that, one after the other, so many people started reaching out to her for help. And every time someone reached out, the only thought she had was there were members in her family whom she could not help. At least she should be able to help these people. And in that manner, one after the other, she was drawn into the activities that were happening, that the alumni were doing, the organization was doing. And she said, before she could realize, her pain was healing. Everything that she thought she had lost was coming back to her. Positivity was coming back to her. Inspiration was coming back to her. And without her knowledge, her love and faith in Swami was coming back to her. And she felt that Swami was doing this to her without her knowledge, without her consciousness, so to say. When some of these calls started coming, her parents sat her down and tried telling her that, you know, you yourself have gone through such a traumatic experience. Nobody will pull you up if you say no. When someone comes and asks you for such a help, if you were to say that, no, I'm not in a position to help, I'm dealing with my own grief, everyone will understand. Nobody will point out to you and tell that you are lacking or you're not coming forth and doing your duty. So if you feel like you need to take more time, do take it slowly. You don't have to go out and help in this manner. When her parents said this, which indeed was sane advice, a young person who's gone through such trauma should be given her space, should be given her time to deal with that grief. But she said that when they told her this, she was reminded of a statement that Swami made in her class interview that Swami had given way back when she was in 10th standard or 12th standard, one of these. And she remembered one statement that Swami made very clearly, and she recalled it at that moment. Swami had told these young students that the inspiration for seva, the desire to serve, should only come from the heart, not from the mind, not from reasoning, not from the situation around you. This was a statement that Swami made among the many statements he must have made in that interview. And she recalled that statement and she said, yes, the situation in my life, the situation in my family around me doesn't probably inspire me to forget all of this pain and go and serve. But right now when this person is asking for help, the feeling in my heart is, I want to go and help that person. I want that that person should not go through what I have gone through. And she said, I have to follow my heart. This is what Swami had said. And she went out, she served. And today she stands as an inspiration for all of us. It is one thing to go and serve. It is one thing to put behind you this enormous grief that you have encountered. And she said, during the second wave, she also lost her brother-in-law, who was a support after her father-in-law and husband's passing away. In the midst of all this grief, this girl stood and stood as an example for Swami's love. And she said that, you know, she had forgotten to pray. She had given up all of these good qualities that she had inculcated in herself. In all these years, she was a student of Swami. But even as she started involving herself in the seva, one of the things which the students had come together and done was this helpline which they were running across many cities in the country. And she was coordinating it for her city and her region. And every time somebody would call with a critical case, with an emergency need, she said without her knowledge, she started praying for that person. She said, Swami, please help this person. Please help them out of this. And unconsciously, she had restarted her prayers. And without her knowledge, through those prayers, through that inspiration, through that help, Swami was healing her. Are we to marvel at this young sister of ours who has risen to the occasion like this? Are we to marvel at this human spirit that has the ability to think of the other person's pain, other person's need? However much we might look at this world and say that the world is going bad, the world is cruel, the world is becoming selfish, but beneath all of these qualities that hits our face is this divine quality to reach out and to give solace to somebody in pain. Are we to marvel at that? Or are we to marvel at Swami, who without our knowledge has sown in us this sort of maturity, this sort of ability to overcome the tribulations of life? In our journey with Swami, I don't know what Swami has put in us, how many years of evolution, how many lifetimes of evolution Swami has packed in the few months, in the few years that we have had the opportunity to spend with Swami. And it is an ongoing process. It is still happening. Are we to marvel at the handiwork of our Master? I leave you all with those thoughts, dear listeners. Wish you a very beautiful Thursday. However gloomy it might appear, sometimes in the midst of all that gloom, the Swami within us is giving us strength. The Swami within us is inspiring us. The Swami within people like Sister Sai Sudha are inspiring us, calling us. And every day when we listen to stories like this, it only gives us another reason to be grateful to Swami, isn't it? I'll join you in a short while for the next segment, the Gita series. But before that, I'll just play for you a song, a few minutes of that song. This was the song that we released as part of the Sathya Sai Sangeet this week. It was a song rendered by Vidushi Sumitra Guha, a beautiful song in Hindustani style. Briefly, I'll join you for the Gita series. Have a wonderful day. Stay inspired. Keep safe and take care.
हमरे गुसाई बाबा
साईं बाबा